You remember Norma?
I nodded.
4 years ago, he continued, like lightning out of a clear sky, she told me one day that our life had been an utter failure, that she had ceased to love me, that she had grown to love another man, and there was no use trying to go on. Man, he broke out passionately. It drove me nearly mad with the combined madness of grief and jealous rage. I knew I loved her, but until I saw myself losing her, I never realized how much she meant to me, how my life was bound up in her. I humiliated myself, pleaded and raved and threatened. It seemed to me a madness that had stricken her. There we were, happy, I thought, in our companionship. We had our home, our little circle of friends, all the beautiful plans for the future that we'd made together. Nothing seemed to count, nothing but the fact that she loved some other man and no longer cared for me. That she was living a lie, and that she was not going to live a lie any longer. I didn't know the other man. I never saw him, never learned his name even. I never could visualize him somehow. But he was there somewhere in the background, with her hopes and dreams focused on him. I couldn't seem to grasp that phase of it. Why she should turn away from me when she had loved me once, as I know she did. We'd had our differences. Every man and woman living in the intimacy of marriage has them. They were trifling things to me. I don't even know if it were mere succession of petty irritations that brought it about. But there it was. And while she was sorry, while she regretted it, there was only the one way out as she saw it. She had to get away from me, to live her own life in her own way. In every bitter discussion that I forced on her when I was lashing out against the impending break I dreaded so, I could see that she was getting farther and farther away from me, that I had no power to stir in her any emotion except resentment and a little pity. So I threw up my hands. I wanted to play fair as she had played fair. She wanted to be free, and she was financially dependent on me alone. I cherished a glimmer of hope that she'd come to her senses, as I put it, at the last minute. But she didn't. And so I sacrificed everything, turned it all into cash. I didn't care. Hell, there was a while I didn't know what I was doing. I had to get quick action or go mad. She was leaving me, but I didn't want economic need to drive her into another man's arms before she was ready. She wanted to avoid that herself. Oh, we talked it over time and again. Talked soberly and sensibly when I felt like shutting off the breath in her white throat rather than let her go. That was only white-hot jealousy. I couldn't help it, but I did control it. When I'd cleaned up everything, I had about $18,000 in cash and I'd wrecked the foundation of a fortune. But that seemed nothing besides this other dread thing that was happening. That gnawed at me day and night, and I had to move with caution to avoid open scandal. I wanted to save her that. Oh, it was maddening. But the time came at last. I kept $5,000 and gave her the rest, and I hit the trail. I had to. I've been hitting it ever since. I never heard from her. I don't know how she's faring. I do know that I can't get away from the hurt of it. I've lost something more than my mate. The heart to buck up and make life give me those things I used to value is clean gone. I've strewed that 5,000 deer across the continent trying to make myself forget, but I didn't. You can't knife a man that way without leaving a sore wound. I've hanged along from day to day, but when I think of doing otherwise, when I think of trying to start all over again, I find myself asking, what's the use? If I could shut out all those old memories, but I can't. My mind keeps eternally on them like this bat eddy, circling around what was and might have been and can't be. I'm a Samson shorn without the mercy of perishing when the pillars of my house fell about me. Joe stopped and drew the palm of his hand over his forehead. His eyes were glistening.